Why Albert Ojwang's death has put Kenya's police on trial, date modified colon 2025-06-17T22:55:47.895Z, description colon his widow tells the BBC his last words from a police station in Nairobi were, I'll see you soon, comma dot. Why the death of a blogger has put Kenya's police on trial, 7 days ago, save, Wycliffe Muya, Barbara Plett Usher and Brian Wahenya, BBC News, Nairobi, save, Albert Ojwang / Facebook, Albert Ojwang, who was married with a young son, graduated with a Bachelor of Education degree a few years ago, my son died like an animal, said Meshack Ojwang, before breaking down in tears in front of journalists outside Central Police Station in Kenya's capital, Nairobi. His only son Albert Ojwang had been arrested in their village of Kakot, near the western town of Homa Bay, the day before, Saturday, June 7, 2025, as he was having lunch with his wife Nevnina Onyango. One of the five arresting officers told the family he was accused of insulting a police boss on social media. We asked the police if he was going to be safe, because we had heard stories of some people being abducted, Ms. Onyango told the BBC. They assured us, at the point of even them giving us their phone numbers. When Mr. Ojwang was booked into Central Police Station at around 21:30 on the Saturday night, he was allowed to phone his wife. When we talked, he was like, as much as I'm stressed, don't worry that much. I'll see you soon. I think those were his last words, she said. But his father was concerned and decided to follow his son, making the 350 kilometers, 220 miles, journey to Nairobi, carrying the family's land title deed as security in case it was needed to pay bail. He says he arrived at the station early on the Sunday morning, and after being kept waiting for several hours, was eventually told that his son had died from self-inflicted wounds. In disbelief and standing next to his lawyer, he described seeing his son's body. He was bleeding from the nose and had a bruised torso and face. He was also shirtless, but this is not how I handed him over to the police on Saturday. Hassan Lali / BBC, Albert Ojwang's parents are devastated by the loss of their only son. His candid interview in heartfelt Swahili and his refusal to stay silent touched Kenyans, and the hashtag number justice for Albert Ojwang immediately began trending, with calls for an investigation. Kenya has a history of police brutality, but the subsequent revelations have stunned the nation, not only the details about the death in police custody of the trained teacher turned blogger, but the ensuing allegations of police lies and subterfuge. Parliament even called in the chief of police, the head of the Directorate of Criminal Investigations, DCI, the Internal Affairs Minister and the Independent Policing Oversight Authority, IPOA, for questioning. It is hard to imagine why the 31-year-old Bachelor of Education graduate could have died in such brutal circumstances. It is clear that his father, who used to work in a quarry in southeastern Kenya, was proud that his son had done so well academically from such humble beginnings. He could never hurt anyone either online or physically, David Bwakalai, a former teaching colleague at Kaituma Secondary School, told Kenya's Daily Nation's newspaper. Albert Ojwang, a passionate Manchester United football fan, had taught religious studies, history and rugby at the school in the southeastern town of Mwatate. He was only there for a couple of terms last year as he had not been employed on a government contract but privately through the school's management board. This is common for new teachers. He had not long graduated from Pwani University, and such arrangements tend not to be well paid. Mr. Bwakalai said his friend had recently been in touch to discuss how he hoped to get a posting as a government teacher. It was an exciting time for Mr. Ojwang, who lived in the coastal town of Malindi, as he and his 26-year-old wife had gone back to his rural Homa Bay home for a long visit so she could be properly introduced to his family. They had arrived in April and were, according to Luo customs, formalizing their marriage. Part of these traditions involved refurbishing his simba, or bachelor's pad within his father's homestead, into a home suitable for the couple and their 3-year-old son George. He was helping his parents out by doing some farm work on the family's 2-acre plot of land, and he and his wife were making plans for their future with Ms. Onyango's imminent graduation as a health worker. Mr. Achuang was also trying to make money as a digital content creator, and was part of a movement of young people on social media posting about political and social issues. This is what led to his death. It is not clear how many followers he had on X, as his account was deleted after his arrest, but fellow influencers said he had a strong online presence and often participated in social media campaigns. He used a pseudonym, which is not unusual with Kenyans online given recent crackdowns on youth dissent. Activists have linked his death to a broader trend of police brutality and impunity, citing the unresolved deaths of more than 60 young people during last year's anti-tax protests. Achuang's death is not an isolated incident but a chilling reminder of the institutionalized impunity and rogue behavior within the National Police Service, NPS, Muslims for Human Rights, Muhuri, director and renowned human rights defender Khilaf Khalifa told local media. But what is unusual about Albert Achuang's case is how swiftly and detailed the investigation has been. In addition, 2 days of televised parliamentary hearings have meant that Kenyans have heard for themselves the disturbing details that led to his death. When appearing before the parliament last Wednesday, Police Chief Douglas Kanja was forced to retract an earlier police statement that said that Mr. Achuang was found unconscious in his cell and rushed to hospital, where he died of head injuries sustained after he banged his own head against a wall. The post-mortem examination and an unusually speedy investigation by the IPOA ruled out the possibility that the blogger had killed himself. The police chief apologized and blamed the error on misinformation from his juniors. He went on to say that the arrest of Mr. Achuang had stemmed from defamatory online posts targeting his deputy, Iliad Laggett, who has since stepped aside. Mr. Laggett said he was doing so in the good and conscious thought of his responsibilities as deputy police chief and that he would provide any support he could to the investigation into the blogger's death. According to Mr. Kanja's statement to Parliament, the posts on X had alleged Mr. Laggett was running corrupt operations in the police by placing trusted officers in specific departments and traffic shifts to control both revenue streams and intelligence flow. Mr. Kanja's statement detailed various posts, including one that claimed Mr. Laggett was under investigation by the Ethics and Anti-Corruption Commission, EACC, along with his photo and the phrase "Mafia Cop." According to the police chief's parliamentary statement, Mr. Laggett had submitted a complaint to the DCI on June 4 about the posts. The next day, when the EACC confirmed there was no investigation into Mr. Laggett, the police proceeded with what was regarded as a serious case under the Computer Misuse and Cyber Crimes Act. Mr. Kanja said the Communications Authority was contacted about 2 accounts linked to the posts. This led to the arrest of a man on June 5 who revealed that he and 4 others were involved in the campaign, one being Albert Achuang. 2 days later, the police had tracked Mr. Achuang down to his home village in western Kenya, AFP/Getty Images. Albert Achuang's death has triggered demonstrations and revived anger over the heavy-handed police response to anti-tax protests last year. In her testimony, IPOA Vice Chair Anne Wanjiku gave some shocking details about the last few hours of Mr. Achuang's life. She said 2 witnesses, who were in a neighboring cell, told the IPOA that they had heard loud screams on the night he died. IPOA investigators claim that a technician was paid $30, £22, to disconnect the CCTV in the station. After the parliamentary hearings ended, 2 police officers were arrested in connection with Mr. Achuang's death. The IPOA, which is bringing the case, said Junior Officer PC James Mukwana had told investigators the intention had been to discipline Mr. Achuang, not kill him. He said the officer in charge of the station, Samson Tolum, had been contacted by Mr. Laggett with the order and had given the constable $15 to pay 2 inmates to beat up Mr. Achuang. Mr. Tolum, through his lawyers, has denied the allegation and Mr. Laggett has not commented. Under Kenyan law, individuals in police custody are entitled to specific protections, including the right to legal representation and communication with advocates or support persons. Mr. Achuang's family are still having difficulty absorbing their loss. "I had not believed it until I saw his body in the morgue," said Ms. Onyango, telling the BBC it bore signs of torture. "It was like things that we just see in movies. I've never seen such a body. It was so heartbreaking," she said. President William Ruto, who pledged to end Kenya's history of police brutality and extrajudicial deaths when he came into power in 2022, has spoken about his shock, saying, "This tragic occurrence, at the hands of police, is heartbreaking and unacceptable." He urged the police to cooperate fully to facilitate a swift, transparent, and credible investigation. "I fully expect that the truth about what happened to Ojwang will be established in due course and that justice will be served," he added. However, nearly 160 cases of suspected extrajudicial killings and enforced disappearances were reported across Kenya last year, according to the Kenya Human Rights Commission, KHRC. IPOA chairperson Ahmed Isaac Hassan told MPs when he was questioned on Thursday that at least 20 people had died while held by police in the past 4 months alone. "It is as if our constitution only is there like a newspaper to be read, and tomorrow we forget about it," Mr. Ojwang's father told the BBC. "Grief has overwhelmed Mr. Ojwang's widow. I don't know what will happen next, because that one person that was my best friend, he's not there. So, I feel like my world is so small and it's dark." But like her father-in-law, Ms. Onyango believes the case, which has sparked protests, could be a turning point. "I think Albert's death should be an eye-opening to us, because it has shown us some of the things that are happening in the cells that maybe we don't know. I really want to talk to my fellow Kenyans to stand on our feet and try and talk about this matter, so that everybody can be accountable." More about Kenya's youth-led protests: BBC identifies security forces who shot Kenya anti-tax protesters' batons, tear gas, live fire. Kenyans face police brutality watch. Inside the world of Kenya's killer cop: new faces of protest. Kenya's Gen Z anti-tax revolutionaries. Kenyan tax protesters take on Christian leaders. Kenyan president's humbling shows power of African youth. Getty Images/BBC. Go to bbcafrica.com for more news from the African continent. Follow us on Twitter at BBC Africa, on Facebook at BBC Africa, or on Instagram at BBCAfrica. BBC Africa Podcasts, focus on Africa. This is Africa, Kenya Africa.